This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Woo-hoo. Woohoo! We made it! Woohoo! Woo.
Yeah, 100 shows. We even got a nice card.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sheprick with a pass left corner, hat open, three for the tie. Good! Riley hit that.
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpup.
It's over! The Bullpups have knocked off Bishop Miege! 62 McPherson, 58 Miege in overtime!
Everything happening in the sports world. And even some things not happening in the sports world.
We've got a little lemon cheesecake.
Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Or for those of you listening online, worldwide, at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the man who is in search of a little lemon cheesecake, a little lemon pancake, whatever. Not a pancake, but maybe a cake that's on a pan. Mr. Steve Sell. Steve, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm surprised you haven't dug into that lemon
cake. I'm going to hit it here this afternoon. I'm going to hit in on it.
Because so. My mother, she sent that cake for you.
Well, I'm going to dig in on it this afternoon.
And you saw it yesterday and went, I'm going to get a piece of it tomorrow.
Yeah, and I forgot all about it till I heard this when our intro was playing. Oh my gosh, I forgot about the lemon bread.
You're a big lemon bread fan.
Oh yeah.
Is there anything lemon that you don't like?
Love lemon.
What about like lemon meringue?
Love lemon meringue.
Lemonade?
Love lemonade.
Lemonade?
Well, lemonade, yes.
What about the Arnie Palmy?
The Arnold Palmer? No, I don't
like that. Yeah, the lemonade with the iced tea?
I don't like iced tea.
What about the John Daly?
I don't know what that is. About five beers?
No, I think it's the Arnold Palmer, the lemonade and the iced tea, but with a bunch of whiskey in it.
There you go.
Or with a bunch of vodka in it.
Okay, all right.
So
that wouldn't be for me.
So you're not a fan of the John Daly the Arnold Palmer?
No, that wouldn't. No, no.
If they came up with like a Phil Mickelson drink, I think you'd like that.
Lemon Coke or something like
that. It'd be something real soft. Well, Steve, we are getting into the middle of this very big week. We have the NBA postseason to talk about a little bit later after the LeBron and the Fighting Cavs have tied up the series at 2-2. We can talk about that in a little bit. The I-70 series definitely favored the eastern side of the state of Missouri last night after a romping of the Royals at Busch Stadium. We've got that to talk about. We have some ideas on some people that might be in the contact for the University of Kansas athletic director job. McPherson High is into its final week of the spring sports season and the 2017-2018
big game
sports
tonight.
Season in general. We've got a big Bullpup soccer game to talk about tonight as the McPherson High girls welcome in the Hayes High Indians 16-1-1 against 11-6-1. The winner going to the Final Four site coming up this weekend. Steve, it's a big week. We're still hanging on to sports for another week. Then after that, you and I are going to have to pick up some other hobbies.
Yeah.
I know you've got a hobby.
Oh, yeah.
But we've got other things to do. We're going to run out of life. And well, I guess that for the next week, we could be talking about a Bullpup state championship in girls soccer.
Reviewing the season.
We could be talking about all conference teams, all league awards.
Yeah, there will be some
of that. But then after that, the dog days of summer will officially hit, and we will be forced to watch the dreadful Royals over and over again.
Well, it is a time for us to recharge our batteries a little bit. We go pretty much at breakneck speed for about 9 months out of the year. It's kind of nice to have basically that 2 months. And it's about 2 months, basically,
yeah.
June and July. Because August, you know, fall sports are starting early this year. I think I saw on one of the schedules there's a tennis meet on the 23rd, I think. High school tennis meet on the 23rd. So they are really getting a head start on the season.
I think the first football game of the season is like...
It's in August.
August 31st?
Yeah.
Is there an August 31?
There is an August 31.
So I think it's that day. I think that we will probably have either a soccer game or a volleyball game on like the 28th.
Right.
So that means We get going about August 10. Right. With really
well,
getting
with the
ready.
Mid-Kansas Sports Fall Sports right. Preview. So, yeah, I'll be starting in on that June 1st.
But until then, Steve and I will go hide out in a bunker and just recap the last couple sports seasons in our heads and just have memories of the state championship wins and the football sub-state games against Andale. We'll just sit back and reminisce.
Well, and we may have some guests.
Yeah, and that was one thing I wanted to hit on. We are in the process of getting some fun guests on for the upcoming months and trying to find some entertainment that's not Steve and I, because let's be real, Steve and I are the funniest people you've ever met. But
I don't think many people say that about me.
Okay, so maybe they don't say
maybe
that.
Maybe you're the funniest guy, but not me.
At some point...
I'm snarky.
Yeah, you are really snarky. At some point, you'll go, God, I don't want to listen to these guys anymore. So we will continue to keep bringing in guests. We have on the show coming up tomorrow, the Kansas high school track guru, Carol Swenson.
He is the guru. He is the
friend of the show.
He is the godfather of track and field stats.
And we'll talk with him sort of about the history of state track and field meet and how Kansas has the biggest state track meet in the country. And I guess that could mean the world, too, because I don't think they're having state track meets in Indonesia.
No.
Or in China.
China.
I doubt it, but maybe that means it's the biggest in the entire world. So we'll talk with him not only about some of the history, but also I want to know who to watch for when you and I are down there on Friday and Saturday, whether it is from the grand scheme with teams from 6A, 5A, maybe a sleeper in 1A.
How about Timmy Lambert?
Yeah.
Smoky Valley. 3 gold medals is right in his grasp.
We also want to know about the local kids, like you mentioned, Timmy Lambert, people of the likes of Emma Ruddle, Ellie Barrett, all sorts of McPherson High athletes. And so we'll talk with Carol about that tomorrow. Next week, we have a very special guest coming in. Miss Kansas, in terms of basketball in the state, a former Gatorade Player of the Year and future Oklahoma Sooner, Taylor Robertson. We'll have her on next week before she makes her trek down to Norman to start the summer workouts with the Sooner basketball program. I am really excited to have Taylor on next week because Taylor is not the most talkative person in season. She's always focused. She's always in the zone.
Driven.
And now that you get her sort of in a relaxed environment and we're a little bit removed from the season, she's out of high school now, that we can get some inner working.
She might be spinning a basketball on her finger while she's talking.
She might. So we've got all sorts of fun interviews and things coming up. Steve, I wanted to throw out a theory at you before we dive into anything too serious. So I was on the internet today, and regarding the Kansas athletic director job, a name was thrown out. And I think I could give you a lot of tries, and you would never guess this name, and he's within the KU athletic department now. It is the color analyst of KU basketball, Greg Gurley. That I have seen a couple of people come out and say, what about Greg Gurley? What about him as athletic director?
That underwhelms me.
It would be interesting. And the reason I say that is because Greg is very well tied into the KU community.
Right.
He is very good with boosters in terms of getting money from them. Let's say he's kind of a schmoozer. Okay. I think he's good with people.
Yeah.
That would be a really interesting hire. And in terms of other programs doing that ever before, to somebody like him, I don't know if this is a precedented thing, that anything like that has ever happened.
I just don't see it. I don't know what all he really does at KU. I mean, you know, he announces. I think he works in the, is he in the Williams Foundation, maybe?
I think he is.
Something like that. I don't know. I don't know how much money they raise, but it's all about money now. When you only average allegedly about 25,000 people during the football season, and actual count was probably about 12,000, 13,000 a game, you're missing out on a lot of revenue that you got to make up somewhere. So fundraising is definitely going to be imperative, whoever gets the job.
What about my guy Jeff Long, former athletic director at the University of Arkansas? He did a really good job at bringing in some pretty good coaches and turning around a very big-time athletic program. What about him at Kansas?
Where's he now?
At his home, sitting on his couch.
Just earning a...
Remember, he got fired.
Okay. When did he get fired?
November.
Okay.
Replaced by Hunter Yurachek, who was at Houston.
Okay.
So what about somebody like that that has been in a huge athletic department in a big conference and understand? And one thing that I really liked about Jeff Long was that he did a lot of work in terms of bringing in money and building facilities. Now, some of his coaching hires people weren't thrilled with, especially with Brett Bielema, but...
Hey, that looked like a good hire at
the
time. It
did.
It looked like it just didn't work out.
And he's been great at building new facilities and getting money for things. I think it would be a mistake for KU to take a chance on somebody that has not really proven themselves. Jeff Long was also on the College Football Playoff Committee. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Not that I think KU will be represented in the College Football Playoff in the next 10 years.
This has got to be a home run. Because anything less, and KU's looking at Mountain West Conference.
Long trips to Boise.
Ugh.
You know that's how they say it there, right?
Provo.
They don't say Boise.
Boise?
Boise.
Okay, I did not know that.
I didn't really know that until recently.
Okay.
So anytime you ever go to Idaho, and you're going into a gas station, and you say, hey, I need directions, I'm trying to go over to that big city, I need to go to Boise, they'll laugh at you. Boise. Yeah, they can go to Boise State. They can go to BYU. They can go to New Mexico, hang out with the Lobos. It'll be really interesting. And remember, when we look back at the Big 12 at the turn of the conference expansion, that was almost a real thing that happened. And I'll be intrigued to see what happens to the Big 12 whenever their next big TV contract comes up.
Well, somebody will probably be looking to leave at some point here pretty quick.
Will it be this team?
Could be. Texas.
I'm throwing up the horns to Steve.
Hook 'em horns, yeah. Could be. Oklahoma.
Big money there.
Yeah, big money. If they lose Texas or Oklahoma, I think that's the beginning of the end of the Big 12.
So it'll be interesting to follow this KU athletic director job. Remember, we talked about it on the show yesterday that Cheyenne Zenger, the former athletic director, was relieved of his duties yesterday. Saw some statements from Coach Bill Self, Coach David Beatty, and saying, oh, it's a sad day here in Lawrence. But what we said yesterday, Steve, is that people knew this was coming.
Oh, yeah.
And there were a lot of people that thought it should have happened at the end of basketball season.
I thought it should have happened after the football season.
Yeah, and that was lingering.
That's really when it should have happened. Because after that disaster, I mean, they needed to move quick, and they didn't. I'm a little surprised that they waited as long as they did.
All right, Steve, we were a little bit cut short on time today, so let's take our first break. When we come back, I want to talk about the NBA postseason. I also want to talk about the Kansas City Royals, or I guess we could talk about your St. Louis Cardinals.
Go Redbirds.
Ugh. We'll do that here in just a moment. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on this afternoon's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE, or for those of you listening on the internet, midkansasonline.com. Steve Sell, for people that want to go back and listen to any of our hot takes about the NBA Finals, about the Kansas athletic director job, they can always go back and listen on podcast, soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. There you go. All right, Steve. Your guy, LeBron James, him and the Cleveland Cavaliers have knotted up their series with the Boston Celtics out east. A big 111-102 win last night in the queue in Cleveland. And now, this series, which looked very much over after two games, and I went back and listened to what we said last Thursday, we knew that Cleveland would not get swept in this series, even down 2-0, even looking terrible. And what my thought was, is that if Cleveland lost game three at home, it would be ugly. and that LeBron might pack it in, and that might be about the end of that season. They win big on Saturday. Last night was the big game. And I listened to several different people talk about it. I listened to Colin Coward yesterday out on the golf course. And he was saying, here's the game that defines LeBron's time in Cleveland. If he wins this game, things are okay. They might have a run left in them. They lose that game, toast. But LeBron has a big game, 44 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. They scored 68 in the first half. And they beat Boston 111-102. And now, it's turned into a best-of-3 series to go to the finals. And if you're playing a best-of-3 series, and LeBron James is on one of the teams, isn't your money on that LeBron James team, even if his team is going to be on the road at least once?
Well, the thing that's been...
Maybe twice?
The thing that's been strange is the road team has just been terrible in every game.
Yeah.
And it's starting to look like a home court series. I thought after Boston looked so good those first two games, I figured they'd split, it'd be 3-1 going back to Boston. Boston would win it in 4 and 5, win it 4-1. But then, man, their defense in the first two games in Cleveland has just been terrible. And LeBron, like you said, he's just taking the game over. They're starting to get some other contributions.
Kyle Korver was laying it on the line last night.
Yeah, he was really good. So, you know, as long
as... Kevin Love looks more like himself.
I watched
Tristan Thompson had a good game.
I didn't watch that much of it, but what I watched, they were really good. I guess I turned and before they didn't play so well. They were up 18 or something like that when I turned it off, and I think it got down to, 9 or 8 or something?
I knew it got down to single digits, maybe around 7. Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris, they were kind of in charge of trying to corral LeBron. There were a couple times where LeBron hit Marcus Smart pretty hard, and he fell down and was getting all worked up. I didn't want to use the F word.
Flopper.
Yeah, I didn't want to use that word. Flopper. But here we go, Steve. Final 3 games going back to Boston, then at least one more in Cleveland. What are you thinking? We can talk about it a little more tomorrow as they'll play game 5 tomorrow night.
I'm going to stay. I think the home team
wins. You still think it's Boston?
I think the home team wins every game in the series. That's how I'm going.
So you're saying LeBron James loses a game 7.
I do.
It's a bold take.
That is bold.
I get a feeling that the Cavs are going to win game 5. And then I wouldn't be surprised to see them win game 6.
Well, if they win game 5, they will win game 6.
Wouldn't
game
be surprised.
Game 5 is always the most pivotal game of any series.
It'll be very intense tomorrow night. I believe that will be at 7:30 on ESPN. Tonight, the only game in the NBA, Houston at Golden State. The Warriors up 2-1. Got a feeling they can pull away tonight. Not that they haven't already pulled away. Steve, if you go look at some of the numbers and the spreads and the odds that the fellows out in the desert have made, Golden State looks like a team that is like Alabama playing an FCS opponent in its first game of the year. They are such a heavy favorite, and they're only up 2-1, which tells me they are not going to lose this series.
They're not going to lose another game. I think they've lost their last game in the playoffs. I think they sweep out the rest of this series and then sweep either Cleveland or Boston. I don't think Golden State loses another game. That's another hot take.
That's a hot take right there, Steven. All right, the I-70 series, game 1, which you heard last night right here on 96.7 FM, KBBE, Royals, rough.
Ooh.
What was it, only 4 hits? Miles Michaelis, the complete game shutout, 9 strikeouts. I saw he's been having a really good year. He's like 6-0.
Yeah. You know, Kansas City's lost 8 out of 9. They had a 9.
Thanks for the reminder.
They had a 9-game losing streak earlier. So, I mean, they have had some really, really bad stretches, and the big thing, the starting pitching is just atrocious. I mean, it is when, you know, your big 3 are supposed to be Duffy, Kennedy, and Hamill, and they are just getting hammered every time out. Hamill will get hammered tonight. Then probably Junis will win tomorrow. Junis is kind of their streak stopper. He's been really good. He's been the one guy that's been really good. Kelvin Herrera's been really good, but they just haven't had hardly any leads to get him the ball.
The Royals have the most losses in the American League. Steve, I saw a stat last night in the broadcast that the Royals have the most ground in the double plays in the entire major league.
And they're giving up the most home runs. And when you figure they play 81 games in their own ballpark, which is, let's face it, there's a lot of pitchers that like to pitch at Kauffman Stadium because it's spacious. But they are just been giving up rocket after rocket. And, I mean, boy, the Yankees came in and hit 9 the last two games. And then St. Louis pounded the ball last night. Tyler O'Neill, he kind of looks like a Rex Hudler type.
Yeah.
The way he plays.
Wonder dog.
Yeah, he plays hard, real strong. He launched one last night, 3-run shot. Kennedy, of course, gives up a lot of home runs anyway. But the Cardinals looked real good. And this they need this because right now that National League Central is really good. Milwaukee's on top. The Cardinals and Cubs and Pirates are all right there. But, you know, I was looking at the American League standings. I think what I figured out, this is a couple days ago, the American League is minus 18 and the National League's plus 18. There are some absolutely horrible teams in the American League. We got the Royals, the White Sox, and the Orioles and Rangers are all really bad this year.
Well, luckily the Royals play the Rangers coming up this weekend. I stand corrected,
But they never play well in Texas. No. That's been a house of horrors for them.
The Royals have the most losses in all of baseball at 33. The winning percentage of the White Sox is still technically worse. They are 13-31. Royals are 14-33.
Doesn't really matter when you've lost that many games.
I saw that the Royals are on pace to lose 114 games.
Now, is Cleveland still under 500?
Yes. One game.
Leading the division.
22-23.
But wait till they get into divisional play. Will they go to town? They are going to feast on Kansas City, Chicago, Detroit, and Minnesota. They are just going to light it up. And, you know, you play a lot more division games later in the year.
Yeah.
And don't be surprised if Cleveland, they've got, you know, they're not what they were last year, but they've still got a team. They won't be one game under 500 at the end. They'll be at least, I'll say, 13 or 14 over. They're going to have a hot streak. They've got too good
of
pitching.
You think they're going to win 25 in a row or whatever it was last year?
22 in a row? They won't win 22 in a row, no. They don't have, they're not as deep. They lost Byron Shaw, their bullpen. That hurt. They lost Carlos Santana, who used to hit about 7 homers a year at Kauffman Stadium.
He hit 5 in one weekend.
Yeah, Andrew Miller's been hurt. Danny Salazar's hurt. So they've got some problems this year. They're not the team they've been the last couple years.
I remember I was listening to a Royals game when Santana had a big weekend, and it was the day after, and Denny Matthews came on and said, "Well, luckily for the Royals, Carlos Santana is in another area code." Yeah, I'll never forget that weekend. Yeah. All right, Steve, we'll wrap things up. Bullpup Soccer tonight taking on Hayes High, and we preview that next. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE. Jim Joyner, Steve Sell. Steve, we have been waiting a long time for tonight's game after covering about 13 girls soccer games where, well, we knew whenever they walked onto the field, they would be victorious. And as the McPherson High girls soccer Twitter tweeted out this morning, say that a bunch of times.
I didn't know they had
a
Twitter.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Okay.
Lady Pup Soccer.
Okay.
They said the girls have been waiting 365 days for tonight's game in the state quarterfinals to take on Hayes High. Now, the revenge that they won is from a different team in Hayes from last year, TMP.
And TMP's playing today, too.
But the Bullpups take on Hayes with a trip to the Final Four in the Final Four site in North Newton coming up this weekend. Their first game on Friday would either be 5 or 7. Third place game would be at noon. Championship game would be at 2. I don't think they get a repeat of last year, Steve. Because I think this team is too focused and too narrowed in.
And we saw Hayes in the McPherson Invitational. Granted, they were missing a couple players, but they only got 7th place in our Invitational and only beat Augusta 2-0. Augusta, of course, pretty much got pounded by the Bullpups. So
what do you define as pretty much got pounded? 10-0 in 45 minutes?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Is that what was it, though?
It was 10-0 in 45 minutes.
Okay, I guess I didn't realize it was 10-0. You just said that, but I was spacing out. But anyway, I think this is another 5-0, 6-0 game. I really do. Unless Hayes just totally packs it in. This team is driven. That, you know, that loss last year to TMP was so unexpected. I think everyone had their Final Four reservations already made.
They already had their shirts.
Yeah. And, you know, they were going to break out the hats as soon as they won.
Yeah.
You know, quarterfinal champs or whatever it was. That they ended with a thud. That game got beat 1-0. That's not going to happen tonight.
Here are some interesting numbers for Hayes and some things that I think benefit the Bullpups. Hayes has outscored its opponents 35-15 this year, which in your head you think, all right, they've given up 15 goals in 18 games. That's a pretty low number for them. Well, the problem, I think, could be for Hayes. They have scored 2 goals or fewer. So 0, 1, or 2 goals this year in 14 of their 18 games.
You got to score if you want to play with the Bullpups.
And that's my thought. They have scored 3 goals or more on 4 occasions, and they have scored 4 goals or more only twice. And the 4 goals or more happened against Junction City in a 5-1 win, and to my knowledge, that is not a very good soccer team.
No.
The other one was to Life Prep. It was a 10-0 win, and to my knowledge, that is not a very good soccer team.
No.
So, the thing that makes this game interesting, how is Hayes going to try to pack in their defense and prevent the Bullpups from getting off shots? Because this is a Hayes team that does a pretty good job of preventing their opponents from scoring.
But if the Bullpups do what they did the last game,
right,
and score a couple goals early, it's over. It is over. I'll just say it right now.
Hayes beat Mulvane in the regional final last week, winning 2-1 in overtime. They were in the third overtime, and after playing an extra...
So that'd be what, 2 10s and then a 5? No, 2 5s and then a 10?
2 10s.
2 10s.
So they finished up the second overtime, and they took their goalie and put her in the field, and she scored the game-winning goal.
And that's the girl that drew like 7 charges in
Isabel
one game.
Isabel Robin.
She drew like 7 charges in one game in the Mid-America Classic.
Hayes High girls basketball set the record this year in the state of Kansas for charges taken in a season at like 35.
They must have handed those out like candy.
So the Bullpups take on Hayes tonight. Starts at 6 o'clock. McPherson is 16-1-1. The number that continues to amaze me. They have outscored their opponents 124-7. And in their 2 postseason games, they have outscored the other teams 20-0.
Yikes.
So if that holds true, then the Bullpups will hopefully be playing in the Final Four this weekend. We're running out of time, and we'll talk about it a little bit tomorrow, hopefully after a win. The Final Four on the other side, all roads are pretty much pointing at Bishop Miege in the Final Four.
And they're not even a home team tonight. They're on the
road.
They're
the 4th seed. If Miege wins and McPherson wins, they will match up immediately.
Yeah. So, Miege...
They play Piper.
Yeah. Does anyone think Miege isn't going to win?
It's almost the same story as it was in girls basketball.
Yeah, it is. Miege and Piper, you know, they were...
And you don't feel as good about Piper.
Nope, that Piper's got the better record, but is anybody betting on Piper? No.
So hopefully we get McPherson, Miege, part 15.
And the other one's like Lewisburg and a Heritage Christian or somebody like that.
Heritage Christian is about 3 miles from my house from where I grew up, and I don't know anybody that went there.
Okay.
So I can't imagine that they're going to win tonight either. All right, Steve, we will wrap up today's show tomorrow. Carol Swenson coming on to talk about state track and field. Bullpup soccer, hopefully recapping a win tomorrow, and hopefully a very good day for Bullpup Nation tonight. Show up in your red and be screaming.
Let's pack the stadium tonight
for the 80 minutes. All right, for Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 1230 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.